Well, it's not a coincidence, these songs that we've had tonight. We've been speaking about praise, and that's the topic I want to talk about, is from paralysis to praise. And we're going to get, there we go, perfect. 40 long years, every day, every week, every year, passed like the one before. Some days he was very successful, and he made himself enough money to feed himself for a week. Other days, he made next to nothing, and his grumbling stomach couldn't be quieted. On really good days, people stopped and chatted, dropped a few coins into his beggar's cup. On average days, he was mostly ignored. On really bad days, he was accidentally kicked and even spat on. You know, he wasn't exactly sure why he'd been cursed with legs that didn't walk. But he'd mostly come to terms with it. He'd had over 40 years to do so. This, such as it was his life. Or so it had been. But what he didn't know was that his life was about to change in an instant, forever, as a result of just one encounter with someone who knew Jesus. We're going to follow through with the story if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to it. It will be on the screen, but it's good for you to check that what I'm saying is really in the Bible. So you can check along with me. So if you turn to Acts chapter 3, and verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Now that doesn't mean that it was 9 o'clock. "Devout Jews gathered at the temple 3 times a day for morning, afternoon and evening prayers." So they gathered at 9 a.m., 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. So when Peter and John came to the temple this day, they were actually attending at the time of the evening offering. That was the ninth hour. So they were there around 3 p.m. and it was heading towards evening. And in verse 2 it says, "A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Now, this isn't the sort of alms like these alms. In any case, he would have asked for legs, not alms. But he was asking. He was asking for money because that's the only way he could support himself. Now, this man, he was lame from his mother's womb. He had never known one day of what it was like to walk. You know, maybe he helped himself crawl as a baby, but his legs were just dragging behind. He couldn't do anything. He could never run. He never took his first steps. Lame from his mother's womb. He had a birth defect. He couldn't even remember a time when he didn't have this physical handicap. Now, in Bible times, disability was often seen as a consequence of sin. So either it was the person who sinned or it was the parents who sinned. Now, because of this notion, people with disabilities were often excluded from society. The Jews took every care to be holy. "Be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, I'm holy." And here he was. He wasn't holy. Someone had sinned, or at least that's what they thought it was. But even though people thought that, Jesus clearly showed disability was not linked to sin. In John 9:1-3, there was a blind man, and his disciples asked him, "Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents?" And Jesus just said, "No, neither. It wasn't either one of them. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." So Jesus doesn't see disability as something to be looked down upon, but it's an opportunity for God's glory to be displayed. Now, this man was carried to the temple every day. Man, I don't know about you, I don't think I'd like to be carried around everywhere. I really wouldn't like that. That would be awkward and horrible. So, but he didn't have an option. So why? Why the temple? We're not told. Maybe people were more willing to give there. Maybe he desperately wanted to enter the temple to worship like everybody else. You know, it's highly likely because he was disabled that he wouldn't have been allowed to enter into the inner courts of the temple. In fact, according to the rules safeguarding the holiness of the temple, people with disabilities were separated and placed apart because they were impure and they were forbidden to enter. Could you imagine if there was our ushers there, if they acted as bouncers, and you came in and you didn't have legs that could walk, and they went, no, you can't come in. How would you feel? You're excluded. This was the life of this man, never ever allowed to go into the temple in the presence of God. Now, in the society in which Jesus lived, the Greco-Roman culture was largely based on the concepts of honor and shame, and that's not something we really get in our Western world, but it was a big thing back then. Brother Dave was talking about the love bank this morning and putting deposits in. Well, it was like that with the honor and shame society. They tried to do all they could to increase the honor and to decrease the shame so that they would have right standing in the community. So to not be able to provide for your family was a great shame. And this meant that the person would have held a very low status in society. Now, in Jewish religion, giving alms was seen as an act of mercy. So it would have brought honor to the giver. So people would have been quite happy as they are to give money away, to give for this cause because it would have been bringing honor. Giving to those less fortunate was very highly regarded by others. And I imagine it would probably have perhaps been a bit of a pride thing too. Look how prosperous I am. I can afford to help out this poor, unfortunate soul here. So the only people that were allowed to beg in their society were those that couldn't work. And this was the only way that they could get enough money to survive, to live from day to day. So there's a little bit of background. And going to verse 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now, we are not told in the Bible how many times Peter and John had passed by this lame man before. It's possible that they had known him for years. They may have known his name. They'd probably even given him a few coins on more than one occasion. I imagine this was a normal, everyday event. Now, if the lame man had been taken to beg at the temple steps every single day of his life, now this is unlikely because I'm going off 40 years here, but if he went every single day of his life for that 40 years, this would have been the 14,600th time that he had sat there and asked passers-by for alms. Even if he had only done it for 30 years, if he'd started at the age of 10, it would have been over 10,000 times that he had sat there begging, just wanting, please help me survive. That, I don't know, that's soul-destroying to me. I can't imagine having to be in that position. That was his life. It consisted of sitting and begging for money. No dignity, no other means of supporting himself or his family, assuming he even had a family. We don't know. No weekends off. Just sitting on the dusty temple steps, watching all the other Jews walk past him into a place that he could never go. Doesn't that sound lonely? And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he was expecting to receive, but I'm pretty sure all he was envisaging was just a few coins dropped into his beggar's bowl that would allow him enough money to eat that night. Oh no, here it gets exciting. In verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I did a little bit of study about that. And it's likely that in the name of Jesus Christ actually means acting as his representative, I say to you, or Jesus cures you. That's what he was saying. The disciples were very, very careful to credit Jesus exclusively with the honor of the healing. They wanted it made known. It's not, we're not doing this. This is Jesus' name. I come to you in the name of Jesus. Since many people in the early first century Greco-Roman world were suspicious of people who practiced religion simply to acquire wealth for themselves, and there were a lot of them, Peter and John's lack of resources would actually have helped to confirm their sincerity. So here we are, we're preaching the gospel, we're not doing it to get money. This isn't our reason. I don't have silver and gold, but I believe in someone, and this is what I bring to you. Now, the mention of silver gold may also have symbolically referred to idolatry, because many of the images associated with idol worship were traditionally made out of gold and silver. So if that was the case, then Peter's very words were a testament to the fact that he was not associated with false idols, but instead he worshipped the one true living God. And it was Jesus, not some carved image or not some molten image, that would bring healing and salvation to this lame man. Now, I was just putting myself in the lame man's shoes, assuming he wore shoes, and I wonder if he was confused or disappointed by Peter's statement at first. If it had been me, I probably would have been thinking, if you're not going to give me any money, get lost. Like, move out of the way. Let someone through who will give me money. There's other people passing by. Maybe he thought that Peter was about to pull out some unleavened bread from his robe pocket or pull out a few fish to gnaw on because he didn't have money either. But then Peter, he did something strange. He mentioned Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wasn't this the man who had recently been executed by the Romans on a cross outside the city? Why was Peter talking about the name of a dead man? It didn't make sense. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was often in the temple, so it's highly likely that the lame man had seen him before. And no doubt he'd heard much about this prophet who had gone around Jerusalem and Galilee healing all manner of diseases. We don't know. Maybe the lame man who was healed by the sheep gate or the man with the palsy who was let through the roof were friends of that lame man. Maybe he too wished that Jesus would pass by and notice him. Or maybe he'd just been in his hopeless state for so long that he didn't think life could be any different. Maybe he just accepted the fact that he was handicapped, so he didn't even bother to ask for healing. It's just the way it was, just the way things were. Never going to change. The text doesn't tell us, and I love to speculate and think what it might have been like to really put myself in their shoes, because it just makes the word come alive. We don't know what this man's motivations were, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't expecting what came next. So the text doesn't tell us what he was thinking, but it does tell us what happened immediately after Peter mentioned the name of Jesus. In verse 7 it says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." I don't think he was quiet. I think he was making a bit of a spectacle of himself, actually. So, how was the lame man healed? How exactly did this happen? I haven't got this on the screen, but if you go down just a few verses to Acts 3 and 16, Peter explains how the miracle happened. And he said this, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So there's kind of two elements there. By Jesus' name, through faith in his name. The two elements, Jesus and faith. And that was all that was needed to obtain a miracle. Peter followed the prompting of the Spirit to speak a word of faith. And then he reached out, he held that man's hands, and he lifted him up. But it's interesting, if you have a look at verse 7, it shows Peter initiating the action. It says he took him by the hand, and he lifted him up. But then if you look at verse 8, it says that the lame man leaped up and stood. So it's when it started, that lame man was passive. He was just accepting it, okay. But then he changed to active. He leapt up, he stood, he jumped around, he praised God. He was ready to be set free. He wasn't ready for people just to pull him along and tell him what to do anymore. He went, "Yes, this is it. This is my moment." But I'm sure he never imagined when he woke up that morning that his life was about to be totally changed. That the problem that had held him back for so long would be gone for good in just a millisecond of time. What an amazing story. I love this story. In verse 9 it says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him." I would have been filled with wonder and amazement too. If there was this man who had been, I'd seen at the temple every single day as I went up for prayer, and suddenly he's in the courts of the temple, and suddenly he's not just being dragged around by people, he's leaping. You know, the Jews would have been reminded of an Old Testament passage, and you can find this passage in Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 6. And it says this, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." What does it say next? "Then shall the lame man leap as a hart." And I've got a picture of some deer there, and you can see they're having quite, they look like they're having fun bouncing along. I'm sure that's how that guy looked too. He was leaping. He wasn't just, you know, walking going, "Dude, this is cool." Like, he was really excited. It says, "The lame man shall leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." Now, this Old Testament passage, it talks about God coming and saving those who are weak and fearful and feeble. It talks about God coming. But here in Acts, we see it was the name of Jesus that brought healing and salvation. The name of God come in the flesh, Jesus. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but the lame man didn't just receive a physical healing that day. He also received a social healing, because then he could go where he wanted. He was able and free to enter into the temple. So he got a spiritual healing as well. This man, who for all his life had to be carried everywhere at the mercy of others, now became able to make his own choices. He was able to go where he wanted, including into the temple. He was no longer excluded from the presence of God or from the presence of God's people. And in some ways, that would have been even more amazing than getting the use of his legs back. To be able to really be part of Israelite society and to be able to be in God's presence and worship him there. I'm thankful that we have a place where we can gather and join with God's people. And I'm thankful that the ushers don't kick us out, but they let us come in because Jesus allows us to come in. And then if you go to verse 11, it says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John," I'm not surprised. I really don't let them go, like, just in case this stops working. But he held on to them. "All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." This was a massive thing. This wasn't just an ordinary prayer time. "And when Peter saw it, he answered the people and said, 'You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" So here was Peter's opportunity, and he began to preach Jesus to the people. He said, "No, it wasn't me, it wasn't John, we didn't heal this lame man, but it was Jesus, God come in the flesh." He went on, he condemned the listening Jews for killing Jesus, although he did say, "Well, you did it in ignorance, you didn't know what you were doing." He offers them a chance to repent and be converted by believing all that Moses and the prophets said about the one who was to come. So this is great. It's amazing. We're loving this. And, it says here, "While Peter was still preaching to the crowd in the temple, the religious leaders and priests became angry." The Bible says they were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They took Peter and John forcibly to the local prison, seeing as it was now late in the day, and kept them overnight. Because in Jewish culture, it was illegal to hold trials at night, and most regular businesses stopped at sundown. So what had become started as such an amazing day very quickly seemed to turn sour. Great, you know, like, this man gets his legs back, we're all rejoicing, everything is wonderful, and suddenly I'm in prison. Like, what on earth just happened? It's crazy. But while it may have seemed terrible, if you turn over to Acts 4 and verse 4, I love this verse too, and it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So that's not including women or children. That's just saying the men that believed. Now, I'm going to put this in context for you a little bit. So this is actually super amazing. Because of the healing of one insignificant beggar, at least 5,000 people believed on God. Now, we don't actually know how many people lived in Jerusalem at that time. There's estimates, and they range anywhere between 20,000 and 80,000 people, with numbers swelling up to six times that many during the Passover and other important feasts. So it's most likely that about 40,000 people lived there all year round, and about 250,000 gathered during feasts. Now, the number who were converted that day was the equivalent of 1/50th of the population during the feasts, or 1/8th of the normal population. Kylie's nodding at me like math skills. She's checking them good. All right, so to put this into context, Canberra has a population of around 381,000 people. So this miracle would have turned over 47,000 people into believers. One miracle. The equivalent of 47,000 people. Amazing. Now, the following chapter goes into greater detail about Peter and John's trial, which the lame man attended. And in Acts 4:21 to 22 says, "So when they, the religious leaders, had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed." So because of that man's presence as he stood there, whole, able to walk, the religious leaders, they weren't able to deny that a miracle had occurred. And so they let Peter and John go. What else could they do? And this story ends with the disciples praying together and being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking the word of God with boldness. And we know that's kind of the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story because much more things happen, but it's the end of this particular event. So, okay, what's the point? It's great. We can read this scripture. We can see how God used the apostles to perform signs and wonders, particularly in the life of this one lame man. But why have we read this? What's the purpose? How can we apply this to our lives now? Because the Bible, it's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's meant to be applied to our lives. It's not meant to be, wow, that was a great story. Jesus, woo, he healed the lame man. Okay, let's go home. No. Okay, so my question is, do you need a healing? The beggar mentioned in Acts 3 had a birth defect. It kept him from the temple and from entering God's presence. When we're born, we're all born with a spiritual birth defect called sin. And that keeps us from entering into the presence of God. So just like this man couldn't walk unaided, he had to be carried to the temple every day by his friends. Likewise, we can't walk in God's ways unless we are set free from sin and bondage. I don't know why you're here tonight. Maybe a friend brought you. If so, that wasn't an accident. And God has planned this meeting so that you can receive something from him. You know, this lame man did the same thing every day. He didn't know any other way to live. He just sat at the gate of the temple and begged over and over and over and over and over by 10,000 times again. Day in and day out, seeing the same people, hearing the same conversations, watching the same few people put money into his begging cup. The temple was off limits to him because of his disfigurement. He wasn't allowed to enter. He probably didn't think that his life ever would or ever could change. And in so many ways, we're like that lame man. Every one of us, before we knew God, we were beggars. Even if we didn't realize that, our spirits were begging. We wanted to belong. But it felt like no matter what we did, we would never measure up to other people's expectations. And although we had never experienced it, our souls were longing to be allowed inside, just yearning to experience the presence and the acceptance of God. And whether that lame man knew it or not, Peter and John had something that he desperately needed. And what he needed went beyond a handout of money. It went beyond a way just to feed himself for another day. What he needed was a complete life change. Before he was healed, he was completely dependent on other people. He couldn't even get to his normal begging spot without someone taking him there. So along with this lame man's miracle of physical healing came the freedom to work, to support his family, perhaps even to start a family, something that had been denied him. The freedom to enter the temple and become part of the church community. And so I put that question to you tonight. What about you? What do you need? You can be close to the temple or to the church. You can even hang out there every day, like I do. I work here. But you can come every week and hang out here and still not get what you need. You can still be in need of a miracle. Do you have a physical ailment that stops you from serving God the way that you want to? Are you feeling excluded from the church community because of your hang-ups or your handicaps? Do you long to feel accepted by someone? Whatever your need, I'm here to tell you tonight that God can supply it. He doesn't just heal our physical problems. He takes care of our mental and our emotional, our social and our spiritual problems as well. I'd like to ask the musicians to come. Whatever you consider to be your biggest weakness, God is able to turn that into your greatest strength. Now, when the lame man was healed, his biggest weakness or his most challenging test, his inability to walk, it suddenly became his greatest testimony. Those legs, which had never carried him a day in his life, were suddenly able to not only support him, but cause him to leap and run and jump. Even that simple act, that act of praise, caused those around him to believe on Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. This man was insignificant. He was passed over by people his whole life. But he became the catalyst for a great ingathering of believers. And I'm here to tell you, you cannot possibly know what effect your life will have on others when Jesus sets you free. 5,000 people believed, 47,000 people believed. It's not beyond God. Now, this is the first miracle that was recorded in the book of Acts after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. And I find what is so remarkable about this is that only a few short weeks before, Peter and John, who were the ones used by God to bring healing to this lame man, they were themselves paralyzed, but they were paralyzed with fear. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, I don't have this up on the screen. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." I've called this message "From Paralysis to Praise." They were stuck where they were. They were paralyzed. Jesus had died. What good is it now? They were hiding in a room because they were afraid they were going to be killed like Jesus was, like their leader. But what happened? Jesus came into their midst. They were glad. And it wasn't very long after that that they were gathered praying in the upper room. And they became the first ones to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They weren't paralyzed any longer. They spilled out into the streets. They were praising God. And it was the boldness that was given to them through that enabled them to reach out to the lame man. You know, we've been praying and fasting as a church for the past 2 weeks, and we're going to continue to do so for another week. This miracle had happened as Peter and John were on their way to prayer in the temple. So I'm encouraging you, if you need a miracle in your life, come to church during the times of prayer. Who knows what will happen? Jesus is able to meet you here. He is able to perform a miracle in your life. Don't forget, all you need is faith in his name. The Bible says everyone has been given a measure of faith. So all you have to do is exercise it. If you would all like to stand tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to wait though. You don't have to wait for prayer tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening. You don't have to wait till later in the week to receive what you need. But we have the opportunity right here and now, in the presence of God, to call on the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, what is your greatest weakness? What handicap has been holding you back from fully entering into his presence? What do you think is too hard for God to overcome? So if you have a need tonight, we're going to sing, and I want you to come pray for that need. And we are going to pray and believe together with you that deliverance is not only possible, but it is going to happen in Jesus' name. And if you have already received your deliverance from paralysis to praise, then I ask you to come forward and pray for those people that come. We can't do anything of ourselves, but in the words of Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The authority of the name of Jesus Christ can set you free.